We needn't go into gory details. I had become one sick puppy, and I didn't care where I slept that night, because I didn't suppose that I'd be sleeping anyway. Who can sleep in a garlic factory? But nature has provided us with a way of curing such problems. Two ways, actually. The first is called death by poisoning. The second is called reverse perestroika. I would have settled for either one, but it happened that perestroika took hold of my entire digestive system and turned it wrong side out in the space of just a few minutes. Slim had made a real smart move when he threw me out of the tent. Fellers, if I'd stayed in there for another 3 minutes, we might have been forced to burn that tent and all our bedding. Well, nature took its course, and I escaped death by garlic by the narrowest of margins. And right then and there, I placed camp meat on the list of toxic products not even fit for hogs. Me and Weenies had just declared war on each other, is what had happened. I had acquired a new and passionate hatred for... Although I must admit that once I had cleared out the plumbing, so to speak, the thought did occur to me, no, absolutely no more weenies. After taking the anti-weenie pledge and conducting a thorough purge of all systems, I turned to the task of putting my life back together. I had lost my right to sleep in the tent, which was okay because your higher breeds of dogs... Coyotes howling. Restless wind moaning in the trees. Flashes of lightning that seem to be coming closer. I've never been the kind of dog who gets spooked by coyotes howling in the distance. The key word there is distance. We figure that 2-3 miles is a comfortable margin, but the howling I had begun to pick up appeared to be quite a bit closer than that, and coming closer all the time. You ever notice that a dying campfire throws eerie shadows on the side of a tent? Yes, sir. And not only are they eerie, but they also move around. I watched those shadows for a while, and by George, they began to look a whole lot like cattle rustlers. 3 horrible-looking villains slouched through camp with guns and knives. One of them had 3 eyes. Another had 2 heads. The third one had the tail of a lizard, and I didn't suppose that Slim would notice if I crept back inside the... Get out of here, you weenie thief. I don't need you burping garlic in my face all night. Scram! Actually, the garlic had... But yes, he seemed pretty emphatic about booting me out of house and home, and let me say right here that I've never been the kind of dog who has a pathological fear of thunder and lightning. Some dogs do, you know, and I happen to work with one, Drover. Drover is scared of storms. Oh, he might bark at the first thunder of Rundle and the first flash of lightning, but after that, you won't find him again until the next day. He runs for the machine shed and hides until the storm passes over. Me? I'm the kind of dog who stands his ground, faces the thunder and lightning, and the lightning and thunder were coming closer and closer, and with the coyotes howling and those shadows swooping around the side of the tent, I wouldn't say that I was scared. Concerned would be closer to it. Nervous. Why else would a normal dog start chewing on the tent rope? It was just a simple case of nerves, that's all. I mean, when a guy gets nervous, he's got to do something, right? I'll admit that it wasn't my best idea of the year, but at the time it seemed... It made me feel better about things, that's all, as I watched that huge cloud advancing towards us. Suddenly the wind shifted and carried the smell of dampness, and I could hear the roar of the rain coming up the canyon, and then it hit us. Wind? My goodness, what a wind. And rain? Buckets of rain, sheets of rain, so much rain that I could hardly breathe, and somehow the tent rope snapped, cheap material, and the tent collapsed in a heap, and then... You won't believe this. I could hardly believe it myself, but here goes. That tent suddenly turned into a ghost. Honest, no kidding. I saw it with my own eyes in the eerie silver glow of the lightning. That thing sat up, moved its arms, and started yelling. Well, you know me. A ghost can get me worked up in a hurry, and that thing caused a strip of hair to raise on my back all the way from my ears back to the base of my tailbone. And fellers, I barked. Yes, sir, I barked at that awful thing in the wind and the rain, trying my best to alert Slim, too. Speaking of Slim, where was he? He must have disappeared. Okay, I think we've worked this thing out. False alarm. Let's move along with the story, and you can forget the business about the ghost. It turned out to be a simple case of mistaken identity. No problem. Next day. We had a rather cold, wet, and miserable night. One reason being that, in his haste to set up camp the previous afternoon, Slim had used an inferior grade of rope on the tent. In the light of the next morning, it appeared that one of the main ropes had actually snapped under the strain of the wind and rain, causing the tent to collapse. The very worst time for a tent to collapse is in the midst of a rainstorm. A collapsed tent suddenly loses its ability to shed water, don't you see? And it was quite a mess that greeted us by the dawn's early light. Slim had gotten very little sleep during the night. His eyes were red and puffy, and he was in a terrible humor. As he hung the bedding and his clothes on cedar trees to dry, he kept coming back to that treacherous tent rope. He held the two frayed ends in his hands and studied them. "I can't believe the stupid tent rope busted, just when I needed it most. You don't need a fool tent until it rains, and then when it rains, the dadgum thing falls apart." I sat there beside him, thumping my tail on the ground and sharing his sense of outrage at the inferior quality of modern tents. Somebody should have been sued for this. There was absolutely no excuse for it. By George, if they were going to be in the tent business, they ought to build a tent that could stand up to the elements of nature. And if they couldn't do that, then they ought to find another line of work. I was outraged. Slim was outraged. We were both just about as outraged as we could be. Why, Slim was so worked up that he vowed to write a letter to the president of the tent company. I didn't blame him. I would have done the same thing, except that dogs don't write letters. Well, our camp was a pretty dull place for the rest of the day. Whilst everything was hanging up to dry, Slim curled up in the shade of a cedar bush and tried to catch up on all the sleep he'd missed in the night. That left me with the job of guarding camp against rustlers and wild prowling animals, which I did with all my heart and soul and... I did manage to catch a few winks of sleep somewhere in the middle of the afternoon. Not much, just a quick nap, and only when I was certain that our camp would be safe. Short nap, very short, certainly not enough to be considered a breach of security. By evening, things had returned to normal. The stuff had dried out, and Slim had raised the tent again, but this time he replaced the inferior tent rope with his nylon pegging string. He was in a better humor now, although he continued to make a big issue out of the camp meet that had mysteriously vanished the night before. He blamed me for it, but that was okay. I had broad shoulders. I could take it, shoulders, I should say, broad shoulders. He boiled some coffee and fried up some bacon and beans, and by the time darkness fell over our little outpost, he was feeling pretty good. So good, in fact, that he offered to sing me a song around the campfire. What could I say? I didn't happen to be a major fan of his singing, but nobody pays a dog for his opinions, so I listened. Here's how it went.
"'Twas the 4th
of July when I read in the paper that a circus from Kansas had pulled into town. Now, elephants had always kind of intrigued me, and I hadn't seen a woman in a month and a half. A feller gets crazy in bachelor quarters and wishes to gaze on a woman or two. And so I forsook all the boss's fun Herefords and went to the circus, alas and alack. At 200 yards, I thought she was gorgeous. She looked like a mermaid with long golden hair. Somehow I missed the tattoo on her shoulder and that she weighed in close to 300 pounds. I should have looked closer before I embraced her. It never occurred to me that she might have the hairiest armpits in Ocultry County. I really goofed up there, alas and alack. I guess that some lassies ain't wild about cowboys who sneak up and grab 'em and kiss on their face. In any event, though, she screamed like a panther and messed up my jaw with a wicked left hook. I sure enough was shocked that she had that big husband, a wrestler, in fact, with a bone in his nose. Before he got finished, I really looked forward to seeing my Herefords, alas and alack. I'm warning you boys who stay on them ranches, a circus is dangerous to fellers like us. There's something about all those glittering costumes that makes a poor cowboy go out of his mind. Beware of the women with big ugly husbands, especially that one with a bone in his nose. In courting a lass, a lack of good judgment can shorten your lifespan, alas and alack.